You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zgur, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. And, of course, we're going to be joined at 2:30 by Dan Wetzel from Yahoo Sports. Still to come, we're going to hear some sound bites from national pundits talking about the Browns' decision as it relates to Johnny Manziel. We're going to go back to the phones right now. Let's start with Terry in Battle Creek, Michigan. Before we get to our guy Terry in Cleveland, that's next. Go ahead, Terry in Battle Creek.
Hello?
Hey, Terry.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I am such a passionate Browns fan. Like, all my friends, everything, they follow them second. I'm 43 years old. I cried when Art Modell held up the contract, said we were moving. And this is a mess. And I don't think it's going to end well at all. We're going to end up getting nothing in return for Johnny. And then they're going to get a sixth, seventh round pick. They're going to get nothing for him but maybe a special teams player. They're going to take a chance on another quarterback high in this draft, and chances are that guy's not going to work out. I am so frustrated right now. I don't even know if I can take much more of this. I was never a big Johnny Manziel fan. Then we picked him. He grew on me a little bit. I do believe the kid's got talent. I do believe the kid's a football player in heart. Someone's got to reach him or something. Something's got to give.
And I think what they're trying to do is reach him through this message, and we'll find out from Johnny Manziel over the next few weeks if that message does get through and if we see a change in his behavior. Let's go now to a man who's probably very happy with the recent turn of events, Terry in Cleveland. Terry, welcome. What's up, man?
Yeah, thanks. Here's my take. You know how I know Johnny Manziel doesn't give a crap about anyone but himself, the Browns, or anybody else? Can you imagine the despair that his parents and family go through every time, especially his mama, okay, that every time she's got to step out of the house and go through this? That's a true sign of a person who doesn't care about anything or anybody but himself. I can't imagine the despair, like I said, you know, especially his mom, you know, men being a dad, you're a little stronger, you can kind of, you know, but every time that they walk around Texas or wherever they go and they have to put up with this nonsense, that's a sign of a dangerous, dangerous individual in life.
You know, I think that the one thing point you make, and I think that was the sentiment that you echoed, Matt, as a player, and certainly I kind of got the sense from the Browns players, that Johnny's actions showed what Terry just said, and I don't know that Terry and I have ever agreed on anything before, but that the perception created by what he did, given the circumstances and given what he said to you and I right here in the Dog Bowl in Berea, and given what he said to Mike Pettine, and given that it was clear there was zero tolerance and what he was being asked to do, to go out and kind of fly in the face of that, says that in some level you are concerned with yourself in the immediate moment and not so much concerned with the authority, not so much concerned with your team, not so much concerned with your teammates or playing football, really. In that matter, it seems in that moment, it seems that you're concerned with going to the club, having some champagne, and acting like a normal 22-year-old, which if you were a normal 22-year-old would be totally fine. But given everything that has happened in the past and not looking at this incident in a vacuum and knowing what was discussed by Johnny with the head coach of the Cleveland Browns and with John DeFilippo and with Kevin O'Connell, it shows some. That's what's concerning. That's why I said even if he gets to play again this year and plays well, you still have to draft most likely another quarterback or look for, continue to seek out that position, because what he's saying is it is difficult to trust me right now as the face of your franchise.
Right, and I agree with that. And I think what's scariest for me is just the utter disregard for his profession, because I always felt there are things you can play your way out of the NFL simply by not cutting it. You know, at the quarterback position, it's obviously, you know, very apparent. Guys like, you know, like Brandon Whedon and guys that have cycled through here in Cleveland go other places or have been other places and just don't cut it. And they play themselves out of the National Football League. And this is a guy that was simply finally playing his way into the league in regards to the fact that he deserved to start, and a franchise is yearning to learn more about him, giving him the opportunity and the keys as you and I continue to reference it, but it's what's off the field, you know, and it's so scary. And it's not so much that it's PEDs or it's, you know, the drug policy, as we've seen with Josh Gordon, that utter disregard for authority in a different way. So, and that's, you know, a different type of addiction. And I don't necessarily know, because we don't know what Johnny went to treatment for. We don't. Whether it was, I don't even know. I'm not even going to speculate on what it was in that laundry list of potential addictions. But the one thing that I think that he is addicted to is the limelight.
And on some level.
But does the light not shine brightest on Johnny Manziel if he actually ends up being worth a you-know-what in the National Football League? Okay, you've accomplished all that in a state of Texas, and you can walk around, you know, like your you-know-what don't stink there, okay? And a lot of that carryover has followed him to the National Football League. The reason why ESPN's here, you know, on a day that he does anything, all of a sudden they're flying to Berea or into Cleveland, you know, they're outside here in Berea. But it's like nothing makes you more relevant than being a success in the professional sport with which you play.
Of course.
Because I would imagine if Johnny plays two more years, you know, starts a handful of games as a backup for another couple, he'll continue to be Johnny Football, the Heisman winner at Texas A&M. But eventually people aren't going to care because he's going to be back in Texas doing whatever he wants to be doing. And that opportunity for that spotlight and that limelight to shine at an extreme high wattage, voltage, whatever you want to call it, is in the National Football League on the stage with which he's a part of right now. So it's scary to me that there's an utter disregard for his profession.
I agree, and that's why they've taken a step. Now, what I love is that Mike Pettine still, through all of this, is dangling the carrot. He's saying, look, this is fixable. This is fixable. And people are, I got people asking about, you know, somebody saying, can't the players' union do something about this being demoted? No, coaches decide who starts all the time. That has nothing to do with breaking the law or whatever.
I started a game 1 week and didn't the next.
People are looking at it as though they've just fired him. What they have done is said, you are still going to get paid every dollar that you are going to get paid, whether you played football or you didn't, but now you're just not going to have the opportunity to play football. So he's not being hurt financially. He's being hurt on the field. And coaches have the right, if a player, you mean to tell me you don't understand that if you were on a team and in practice your coach tells you to do something, you don't do it and basically either give him the actual finger, the virtual finger, or mouth off to him, and then they're like, okay, fine, you're not playing next game? That's never happened to you?
Of course. Of course. You sit the first half of a football game and you don't start?
Now, maybe you're just a goody two-shoes. It didn't happen to you, but it happened to somebody on your team. I guarantee it. So that's what's going on here. People, I think, are making a bigger deal of it in terms of, oh, it's so wrong. Everybody's played on a team sport. Not everybody's been fortunate enough to be compensated millions of dollars to play in a sport. But when you upset your coach and violate your coach's trust or belief in you or show them up, in so many words, you don't get the opportunity to play. That's what's happened here with Johnny Manziel. I think at the end of the day, it is fairly simple. 216-578-0850. Let's go to Kyle right here in Berea. Kyle, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, guys. Just want to say, first of all, you have a tough job, and I appreciate what you do, sitting between a rock and a hard place every day.
it's going to turn around. I know it at some point.
It is, Nathan. It's going to turn around. What I want to say is just the other ridiculousness of the notion that this isn't fair to Johnny. ESPN 850 Cleveland has played over and over again the loop from Johnny's mouth saying he wasn't going to embarrass the team. I don't know where this confusion about what he and Pettine's agreement was comes from, but I've heard from his mouth last week he said he wasn't going to do something. 24 hours later, he was doing that exact thing. Where's the confusion? What's the upset nature from the crowd coming from? This is exactly what the kid gets. He should be cut. We got Robert Griffin III, Colin Kaepernick. We got some QBs that are going to be available. Get this guy out of here. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much for the call. Now, Mike Pettine saying there was no discussion at all about cutting Johnny Manziel in wake of this incident. Mike Pettine said, I will be happier than anybody and cheer his success more than anyone. He loves Johnny Manziel, and he likened it to being a parent having to give tough love. And I know that people say other teams put their time in and winning, and Pettine is babysitting. That's what a tweet that I just got. Mike Pettine does not want to be dealing with this.
No.
Let me just tell you, from talking to him, both on and off the air, and getting to know him, and certainly getting to like him as a coach. This is the last thing in the world he wanted. Mike Pettine, because he's a guy, if you've seen every decision he's made, right? What has he done? He trusts his veterans, players he can trust. You hear him say that. That's the way he goes about it. That's why when a lot of us, myself included, was ready for Johnny, he was playing Josh McCown. And he finally got to the point where he was going to say, okay, Johnny, here you go. It's your time. You've done everything the right way here. You've done everything the right way on the field. It's your time now. What I'm going to say is, with this comes great responsibility. We're going to sit down and talk about what that means. You're going to have a complete and clear understanding of what my expectations are for you in this role now that I've named you the starting quarterback for the rest of the season. And go on. Under the radar over the bye week, focus on doing your job as a quarterback. Come back and let's get back to work and roll over the next six games. And Johnny didn't do it. And that's why we're here. So if you want to be mad at anybody, be mad at Johnny Manziel.
Right.
That's the bottom line. And I hate it. I don't want to be mad at Johnny Manziel. I want to be out there getting made fun of for being a cheerleader and having people make YouTube videos to the cheerleader song while I'm celebrating Johnny Manziel touchdown.
Does that exist?
That's what there is one.
I got to look. I got to find it.
Look it up. Oh, it's great. It's from, I mean, that's where we got. People were worried about me celebrating too much on the sideline during the Rams game on a Travis Benjamin catch that was nullified via penalty. And now we're dealing with this. Take me back to those good old days where people just making fun of me for liking this team. All right, we're going to take a break when we come back. 216-578-0850, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.